So are the people standing between you and lunch are two good friends of mine in the theme of used to be at Baker Botts together. My current partner, Nick Schuneman, is here in Austin with me at McDermott Will and Emery. Nick's got a master's in double E and Harvard and whatever. He's really smart. And Natalie is currently at Yetter Coleman, doing great. She's also an experienced patent litigator and was my valued partner at Baker Botts for a lot of time. So they're going to talk to you about, what are you guys going to talk about? They're going to talk to you about
the globalization of patent law,
which I don't know what that means. So
tell us. We're going to tell you. That's why we're here. I'm going to take that. Yeah, I'm going to take that laptop. So we can see the slides here.
Perfect.
You able to see those?
I can. Yep.
I could do.
Great.
Well, thanks for the introduction, Kevin. I guess that means we could skip this first slide. We've already been introduced, so we'll do that. So we're going to talk today about the globalization of patent law, and this is a topic that I think snuck up on a lot of us, and the reason I think that is because it snuck up on me over the last couple years, but it's becoming increasingly important to our clients. And our goal today is not to make you an expert in patent law in every jurisdiction that currently matters in the world, because I'm not qualified to do that and we don't have the time. But we'd like to teach you enough. The cliche is teach you enough to be dangerous. I don't want any of you guys to be dangerous to your clients. I want you to be helpful. And that's the goal today. All right, so you guys remember the good old days of patent litigation in the U.S. back when U.S. patent attorneys only had to know a few things to advise their clients on pretty much anything that mattered. The U.S. Code, the U.S. Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, the Federal Rules of Evidence, the USPTO's MPEP, and of course, U.S. case law. Things have changed in recent years. It turns out the rest of the world has innovators, and they're interested in protecting the IP generated by those innovators. So that's causing headaches for our clients. It's also causing confusion for U.S. patent attorneys who woke up one day and found out they had to care about things like the German injunction standard, or whether a judge in a court in India was going to decide a global royalty rate for some aspect of their products. So U.S. patent litigators are finding they have to take a more global view and understand what's going on in the rest of the world to properly advise our clients, because these cases happening in India and Europe, in Germany, in the UK, you'll see these have an impact on our clients here. So we're going to talk about a few issues in that vein today. Not all of them. There are other topics we don't have time to get to in terms of globalization, but a few kind of high points. The first, Natalie, we'll talk about extraterritorial damages for infringement of a U.S. patent. This is a case where the U.S. courts have really expanded their jurisdiction beyond the borders of the U.S. on patent infringement issues. Then I'll talk a little bit about the European venues that are becoming more and more popular for patent infringement suits, and we'll wrap up with a discussion specifically on standard essential patents and how courts worldwide, and maybe even administrative agencies, are becoming willing to determine royalty rates on a global rather than strictly national or local level. And before we get going, guys, you know this. It's not legal advice what we're doing today. This is CLE, so just need to say that. All right, Natalie, you want to, there
Perfect.
You go.
Yep, thank you. So I know folks have probably heard a whole lot about what's going on with extraterritorial damages for U.S. patents and some of the new cases that have come out. So one thing that Kevin didn't mention, I clerked out in the Eastern District of Texas back in 2009. We saw a lot of patent litigation that year. Kat Lee, my co-clerk here in the room, we both clerked together that year. It was a busy year, and now what we're seeing in the Eastern District of Texas is a whole lot of foreign defendants being sued, right? And a lot of sort of multinational companies in both EDTex, Western District of Texas, all over the place. And so these issues of extraterritoriality are coming up more and more often. The Federal Circuit has given us some recent guidance in 2023 and 2024, and we'll get to those cases in a minute. But I thought that we would level set a bit by going back and talking about power integrations, Carnegie Mellon, Western GECO, all cases that you're all familiar with, but I'm going to give you a little bit of background and a little reminder of what was going on before the more recent cases, which are Syntec and Brumfield.